I'd like to welcome each of you to our live stream on another Sunday morning. Hope the Lord would bless you as a result of you being here. We'll remind you it will also be open this evening. Encourage you to come back on our Sunday evening services and on our Wednesday night services. So be sure to try to come to those. We'd love to have you here. What I'm going to do this morning is I'm just going to cover Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, not the whole chapter, but Acts chapter 2. And what I'm going to be looking at is verses 41 and 42. 41 and verse 42. Now, this is a big time in the church at that time, the church of Jerusalem. Back in chapter 1, they had 120 people. And now, in Acts chapter 2, they have a massive number come out, and that was 3,120 total. And that's a, man, can you imagine having 120 and then in one day go to 3,120? But that's what was going on, and that was a revival. And the Lord was using it in a mighty, mighty way. I couldn't even imagine that, but I'd love to see that happen here sometime. We wouldn't have room to put them anywhere, really. But it's important, especially in verse 41 and 42. This is just a small verses that we're going to be looking at, but boy, it's got a lot in it. So let's go ahead and we'll begin with our message this morning. And I want to start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful today for the privilege to be able to stand and preach your word again. And Father, we pray a mighty blessing upon the Elizabeth Baptist Church. Father, we pray that things would go back to normal eventually. And we pray, Lord, that we would love you as we should. In Jesus' precious name I pray, and amen. Now in Acts chapter 2, this is big things has, like I said a little while ago, big things has happened. They had about 120, and then they went from that number to 3,120. So the church just keeps growing here in the book of Acts. And it would have been a wonderful thing to be around, wouldn't it, to see that many people saved and coming and trusting Jesus as their Savior and becoming, you know, being in the church, being added to the church. So there was a lot of things going on. Well, what I'm going to look at today is in Acts chapter 2, but all I'm going to do is cover verses 41 and the verse 42. Verse 41 and the verse 42. It says, "And they that gladly received his word." They gladly received his word. Now, this, it was no doubt the gospel message because you had 3,000 saved on this particular day. And like we've already mentioned to you, 3,120 was what now, they went from 120 to 3,120. And what a marvelous thing that would have been to be able to see that. We always look forward to people being saved. We never can lose vision of the salvation of the sinner. And I hope that, you know, we all live in different places and we all live in different communities. And I think it's important that wherever you work at or live at, you seek to be a witness to those who are lost. And I think all of God's people that's been born again and trusted Jesus should seek to declare the gospel to people that they know. Let me ask you a question before I get started. What do you do? With regard to spreading the gospel, every one of us that are born again, every one of us who are saved should spread the gospel where you work at, where you go to school at, where you live at, and we seek to win souls. Many times when I wake up, I'll wake up and I'll ask the Lord, I said, "Lord, open a door of utterance that I can share the gospel to somebody that's lost." And the gospel should be really on the mind of the believer, because we have family members that are lost and co-workers that are lost and friends that are lost. So we need to look for doors of utterance to share the gospel. If you don't look for them, let me put it another way. If you don't pray for them, you got to pray for a door of utterance that the Lord would open it up to share Jesus with you. But if you don't look for it and you don't pray for it, most people overlook it and you forget about it. And we don't want to do that. If you're born again and you've trusted Him, we have the most important thing in the world is for you to get the gospel to them, and you seek to share it. And used to be when I worked a secular job, one of the things I'd do every time I'd drive to work is I'd say, Lord, give me a door of utterance to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'd ask that every day. Now, what that does, that puts you on, it makes you ready. You're looking for it. But if you don't look for it, most times what will happen, you just let things slide by. I don't know if this ever happened to you before. I know it's happened to me. There's been times that I got so wrapped up in other things that there was a clear opportunity to deliver the gospel, and I missed it. Just absolutely missed it. I got back in my car and I was driving down the road and I went, oh no, right there it was. And I was so thinking about other things that I failed to give the gospel message to them. The gospel message is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes it. If you want to, if someone's going to go to heaven, they have to trust the gospel. In order to do that, they got to hear the gospel, and that's what we do. That's one of the things that we do, is we spread the gospel. We have our families, we have our co-workers, we have our neighbors, and sometimes we just run into people we talk to about it. So we need to spread the gospel, and that's a wonderful thing to do. So here in Acts chapter 2, it says they gladly received His word. Now this word, of course, as I've told you before, is the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation. They that gladly receive the word. Now, back in Acts 1, there was 120. And then after that, there was a revival there. And then it was 3,120. They grew 3,000 members in one day. Can you imagine that? And then they continued all through there growing in number. What did they do? It says they gladly received the word. They gave the gospel out. They gave it out. They delivered it to other people. And then the Holy Spirit took what they said. The Holy Spirit took what they said, and they accepted it. They trusted it. And that's what they did. So that's why it's so important. That's why it's so important that you trust the gospel. All right, the first thing you see in this verse is they gladly received His word. And I want to ask you that are listening, I want to ask you, have you gladly received the word, which is the gospel? Have you gladly received it? I hope you have. The greatest thing a person can have is the gospel. The Bible says it's the power of God, the salvation to everyone that believes it. But have you yourself trusted it? You might know it and you might be able to define it, but you have to trust it. You have to take it in. It's like a medicine. A medicine can't help you unless you take it in. And that's what the gospel is. You got to take it in. So you gladly received the word. That's what they did. They gladly received it. It wasn't something forced upon them, but it was something that they gladly wanted to do. They received it. And that's what happens when someone's born again. When the Holy Spirit touches an old dead sinner's heart, they gladly receive the word. They do it. So there's no pushing, there's no forcing. It's just you give it, and the Holy Spirit opens their heart and opens her understanding and opens her mind, and he draws them. The Holy Spirit draws them to himself. That's why they gladly receive it. That's why they gladly receive it. I never did think much of folk that pulled people down a church aisle to try to get them to come to the front. I think it causes false conversions. When someone wants to be born again and the Holy Spirit's touched their heart, they'll come. They'll come. And they'll come and they'll trust Jesus as their Savior. That's how that works. So let me get off verse 41, the first part. And they that gladly received the word were what again? Baptized. And their attendance grew from 120 to 3,120. I'd love to see that happen here someday. Okay? So those that gladly received the word, which is the gospel, those that received it, notice what else they did. They were baptized. They were immersed. You look at the word baptized. That's the Greek word baptizo. And what does it mean? What does baptizo mean? To plunge, to dip, to immerse in water. That's what it means. Those that received the gospel, not long after it, they were baptized. Now, what's the importance of baptism? Well, I think it makes it public. Let me say it one more time. I think that's how they make it public. You make it public through the baptism. Many of time over the years, I don't know how many people that I've baptized in this 40 years that I've been here, but there's been a lot. There's been a lot over the years. But baptism is a picture. Baptism is a picture. And of course, the picture of baptism is the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. That's what baptism is. It pictures the gospel. It's not the gospel, but it pictures the gospel. It pictures what Jesus did for us. Jesus died on Calvary. He was buried. He rose again the third day. That's the gospel, and that's what's pictured in baptism. That's why it has to be done right. It has to be done right. It's a picture. If you don't do it right, it destroys the picture. What is the picture? What is the picture in baptism? Death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what people see. Well, sometimes, sometimes what we do in baptism is that we seek to do it right because why? Because a lot of people think that baptism saves you, but it doesn't save you. It's not the gospel, but it's a picture of the gospel. That's why it's important that you. That's why it's so important that you do it right. There's no such thing, beloved. I know it's people do it, but there's no such thing as sprinkling for baptism. A true baptism has to be immersion because it's a picture. You ruin the picture if you don't do it right. So do it right. The Greek word for baptism is baptizo, and it means to plunge, to immerse in water. Do it right. Was Jesus immersed? Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So they gladly received the word. Those that received the gospel is what they received. They that gladly received the word were baptized. Okay? So you see salvation first. They gladly received the word. They received the word. And then they were baptized. All right. Now, stay with me now. They that gladly received the word were what? Baptized. And that same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. Ah, man, just think how great that would have been. They had a business meeting in Acts chapter 1, and they had 120 people, and now they go from 120 to 3,120 in one day. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? 3,000 people were baptized. Now watch this now. They gladly received the word. Then what did they do? They were baptized, and the same day was added. What were they added to? They were added to the church. So the church of Jerusalem went from 120 to 3,000. 120 in one day. Can you imagine that? Man, oh man, that would be unbelievable, wouldn't it? That'd be a lot of baptizing, wouldn't it? It'd be 3,000 people. They would, of course, they immersed. They immersed. When you do a baptism, you got to do it right. It depicts an immersion. Death, burial, and resurrection. It pictures the gospel. That's why you got to do it right. That's why you got to do it right. Okay? All right. They that gladly received the word were baptized. And the word they received was the gospel. And that same day was added unto them 3,000 souls. Wow. What a day that must have been for that church. Can you imagine it? Of course, the church of Jerusalem was the first church, and it just steadily grew. When you look at them throughout the book of Acts, they just kept steadily growing. Okay? 3,000 souls were added. 3,120 was in the church of Jerusalem. And they kept growing, like I've already told you. Okay? Verse 42. And they continued. See that in verse 42? What to say they did? They continued. I like that word. I like the word continued. After someone's been born again, they trusted Jesus as their Savior, and they're added to the church. They're on the church roll, let's put it that way. They're added to the church. What did they do? It says they continued. They continued steadfastly. And that's what you look for in a church member. You look for them to continue steadfastly. Okay? Over the years, you see different things over the years. Sometimes people come in and you think, man, this is awesome. people starting to come in, and then as fast as they come in, they go. That's not continually steadfastly. I look for church members to be steadfast. There's a text that says, be steadfast and unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor for the Lord is not in vain. So we are expected to continue. I want you to look at that, verse 42. And they continued steadfast. That means they didn't quit. That means they continued. That means they lasted. That's what they did. I look for people to be steadfast. There's another text I'm thinking mentioned to you a little bit earlier. Be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain for the Lord. It's a wonderful thing. So we need to continue steadfast. Now, verse 42 still yet. They continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. What's doctrine mean? Bible teaching. That's what Bible teaching is. I don't know how many people I hear say, oh, we need to get rid of all that doctrine. Doctrine means Bible teaching. You don't want to get rid of Bible teaching. You want to hear Bible teaching. You see, it calls the apostles doctrine. And boy, did they ever teach. They spread the gospel. They taught the truths of the Word of God. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. It says they had fellowship. See that word fellowship? Look at all they have. These are things that we have too. We got the same thing. When I was saved, I gladly received the Word. Then after I received the Word, I was baptized. And then after that, I was added as a member of the Elizabeth Baptist Church. And then I continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine or teaching and fellowship in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, the breaking of bread is the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper. We observe the Lord's Supper, the ordinances. Administer baptism and the Lord's Supper. Now, I love the Lord's Supper. Boy, it's been a long time since, with all this stuff going on, I can't even remember the last time we done so. It's been so long. And the breaking of bread is a picture of the Lord's Supper. I love the Lord's Supper. Some of my greatest times in life is sitting in this in the church and taking the Lord's Supper with my church, with the church. I really do love to do that. It's a picture of Christ's death. It's a memorial service. We remember what He did to save us from our sins. And that's what the breaking of bread here is. And breaking of bread and in prayers. Prayers. You know, a church won't last long if the membership don't pray. It won't last without prayer. You got to have prayer. God is the one. We go to Him and we ask for things, and we should pray for a lot of different things. We should pray that the Lord would save souls, right? We should pray for those that are sick. We should pray for those that are in a bad way. In a bad way. We should pray for those, for sake of a better term, we should pray for those that have quit coming. We should do that too. You should do it in a right way, though. You should do it in a right way. When you ask somebody where they've been and you tell them that you miss them and things, you ought to really mean it, for one thing. And you don't do it in such a way as to anger them. And I've seen people do it in a bad way and made them not want to come back because of the way that they acted and just was real harsh and things of that nature. Let me tell you something. People know who loves them. People knows it. And one of the greatest things you have in a church, of course, we have the gospel and all the teachings and things of that nature, but people know who loves them. And love is one of the most important things you can have in a church. People that care about you, people that love you. One of the things that I like to hear people say, and I hear it a lot here, is they call our church a church family. I like that because it is a family. We're real close. And I think it's a wonderful thing to have that in a church. People will come and sit and listen, and they watch after one another. We watch after one another. And it needs to be done that way. And I think people like that. People like to feel more of a part of things. And I think that's what you do. Okay? So here in the book of Acts, that's what they've done. 120. They had 120 in chapter 1. And then 3,000 comes in. Then they go to 3,120. That's that many people was saved. They gladly received the word. They were baptized then. They were added to the church. They continued steadfast. And then they broke bread, which is the Lord's Supper. The church of Jerusalem grew quick, especially. I just give you certain parts of it, but as you go through the book of Acts, it just kept growing bigger and bigger. And the Lord blessed it in a mighty way. A church, the purpose of a church is to carry the commission. Make disciples. Baptize them. Make disciples and baptize them. It's important that we do all of those things. Preach the scriptures. Preach the word. And the Lord will continue to add. And we just can't ever give up. We got to continue steadfast in what the Lord has called us to do. The Great Commission is awesome. Make disciples, baptize them, and teach them. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And he said, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. I don't know when Jesus is coming to you. Nobody knows. But I want to work till Jesus comes. We used to sing an old song down here. We'll work till Jesus comes. And we plan on doing that. We as a church plan on doing that. We're going to work. We're going to invite folks. We're going to stay at our task. Because God still has a work to do. We're still here, ain't we? We still have a work to do. We have plenty of things to do. You pray for our churches. Ask the Lord to bless and ask the Lord to that we'd see a big coming back of our people. I hope the Lord blessed you this morning. I hope he touched your heart in some way. If you're listening to me and you never trusted Jesus as your Savior, now's the time. Now's the time. Have you ever trusted him? Have you ever trusted him? If you'll call on him, the Bible says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Y'all believe it? Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You call upon him, he'll save you your soul, and he'll give you everlasting life. If you don't have a church home of your own, I want to remind you this evening, we have an evening worship service at 7:30. Try to come to that if you can. And Wednesday night, we have a 7:30 service also. I don't know exactly when we're going to open up totally. It won't be too much longer, I wouldn't think. But we try to follow the Lord's direction with whatever we'll do, and that's what we'll do, okay? Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful today that I've had the privilege to preach again. And these people, Lord, that come and to be a part of it. And it just blessed my heart today. It really did to see them. And the little ones also. It blessed my heart. Father, we pray that we continue to see people saved. And we pray that you direct our path as a church of what we should do. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.